Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. David Plouffe served as the campaign manager for Barack Obama's primary and general election victories in 2008. He was the architect of the strategy for both elections. Prior to running the Obama campaign, he served as a leading Democratic Party media consultant from 2001 to 2007, playing a key role in the election of U.S. senators, governors, mayors, and House members across the country. He joins us this morning to discuss his new book, A Citizen's Guide to Beating Donald Trump. Plouffe's message is simple. The only way change happens, especially on scale, is one human being talking to another. He says it won't happen magically. It won't happen because of debates and conventions. It won't happen because of ads. He believes it will happen because citizens take action. Again, the name of the book is A Citizen's Guide to Beating Donald Trump, and it's a great pleasure to welcome David Plouffe to the roundtable this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
It's a great pleasure to have you back on the program. Always nice to speak with you. Let me ask you, I guess, the obvious question, which is, how has the last week changed the campaign and changed A Citizen's Guide to Beating Donald Trump? What's different now?
Well, on the first question, we don't know. So obviously, things like big crowd events, I mean, Trump says he's going to keep doing them, but I doubt that'll happen. So candidates aren't going to be able to do big rallies. I'm sure people are going to do less door knocking. We have some big elections coming up, you know, this coming Tuesday. I'm in Ohio today. There's a election, a big primary on Tuesday. You know, what does it do to turnout? Do poll workers not show up? And of course, what does this do to people's view of Trump? I think he's mismanaged this horribly to date, so I can't think it helps. And there could be some pretty big economic and health impacts, obviously. So on Citizen's Guide, you know, to me, it's a time for people to sit back. Everyone's going to have a little more time, sadly. What's my plan for the general election? You know, what am I going to, am I going to write postcards? Am I going to write phone calls? If I live in a battleground state, am I going to become a volunteer leader? If I don't, you know, a lot of your listeners, you know, are within a reasonable drive of parts of Pennsylvania, let's say. Am I going to go to Pennsylvania a couple weekends in the fall? How am I going to use social media, both to spread positive messages about what our candidate will do, but also respond to Trump's lies? You know, in the last 3 days we've had, this is all Obama's fault, you know, on coronavirus, and Trump telling people if the Democrats win, they are going to get rid of people's cars, which is just a flat-out lie. So people got to get in the game. That's the message. And we don't know how long we're going to be in this state. We all pray, not for political reasons, but for health and economic reasons. It's not too long. But there will be a general election. There's a lot of things you can do from the comfort of your home. And it's going to be close. I think we better assume it's going to come down to a vote or two per precinct.
For the people that this book is intended for, those who oppose the president, is it also a citizen's guide to not only beating Donald Trump, but also, so of whether that's going to Pennsylvania if you're a New Yorker or going to Ohio and going to these swing states, but is it also helping in your region to ensure that the House stays in Democratic hands and the Senate can flip?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think my exhortation here is if we've got to get rid of Trump. So here's some ideas. The spirit actually being even more important to me than the specifics, which is people need to take ownership of their involvement and their power in this election. But lots of people obviously, you know, may give some money to beat Trump or make some phone calls in the battleground states if you live in New York, but you've got local races and you should do all you can there. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is a guide for political activism, both that it is important, you know, and I wanted to write this as someone who's run successful campaigns to say that, you know, I've done that.
Right.
But it's the activity of local people that makes the most difference. It's not what people like I do. And so, yeah, and it's actually, I think there's good lessons in here for people who are organizing around issues or ballot initiatives. So, yeah, I hope people get value out of it beyond just this year and beyond just the presidential election.
I kept on thinking about this as I was reading the book, but your skill set of employed in 2008 to get a candidate elected, is it, how different is it then to put that skill set to use to try to get a candidate not elected?
Well, I mean, this is still about, yeah, the title is defeating Trump, but it's still about electing someone, right? So
right.
I think right now it looks like Biden's, going to be the nominee.
Do you like that?
Well, listen, the voters will decide, right? I certainly was prepared for either alternative. But if Biden ends up being the nominee, you know, we need to find ways to get people excited about that from a policy standpoint, from a leadership standpoint. He's a person of great empathy and kindness, which is a big difference from Trump. So we got to get people excited. But, you know, you also have to make the argument. Trump's an incumbent. So it's really got to be a referendum on him. He's going to try and turn it into something else. I mean, his speeches by the end of this campaign are going to be like, Joe Biden will open every border. Rapists and criminals will be let out of jail. You won't be able to eat steak or hamburger. They're going to take away your car. Your taxes are going to go up five times, even if you're like a teacher or a nurse. Like, it's going to be insanity. But that's what he's going to do. So, yeah, we've got to make the case against Trump, fight back against his lies. But, you know, we want people to be for something, too.
Right.
So if you care about climate change, you know, the fact is Trump will continue to deny it and make it harder, if not impossible, to do anything about climate change. And Joe Biden will do the opposite. So we've got to also make it clear to people that this isn't just, and some of the coverage of the primary is like, well, Biden's just about beating Trump. No, well, yes, but he's about much more than that. Any of our candidates would have been.
So in just that mini litany you gave of things that Trump will be saying toward the end of the campaign, who does that work on, though? I mean, does that help him? And I mean, I know that that's what the playbook has been, but it is, in your opinion, do we still have to fight against that, or do we just have to, or will some of that take care of itself?
Well, I wouldn't worry about it so much from like a hardcore Trump voter. You're not going to change their mind.
Right.
But, you know, I've seen research recently with voters who are considering voting against Trump, you know, the truly undecided voters in states like Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, who have said, you know, I hear the Democrats are going to ban, you know, our ability to, you know, eat meat because of the environment. Or I hear Democrats are going to basically get rid of the automotive industry overnight. So that kind of stuff does bother people. You know, somebody who might be thinking of voting third party says, I'm definitely going to vote. I always vote. But I've heard so many negative things about Biden that I'm just going to vote third party. And so, you know, we've got to be concerned about those voters. What is clear is Trump cannot win re-election based on his own record and his performance as a competent chief executive. But, you know, if he turns this into like Mad Max Fury Road, just fire and blood and craziness, you know, that chaos works for him. So, unfortunately, it's frustrating. But, you know, I just mentioned in the last, you know, this is Obama's fault. You know, it's not my fault. And, you know, the tests are perfect, you know, and the tests are horrible. They're not available for people who need them. Like, we have to, if you see your aunt Ivanka posting that, you know, I would take 5 seconds to say that's just not true. Here's the truth. You know, on the car thing I mentioned, say that's just not true. Here's the truth. So we live in a world where, you know, it's so easy for lies and distortions to sweep around the planet. And again, I'm not concerned electorally of, you know, Trump's hardcore 46%. Nothing. He's right. You know, he could go shoot somebody on the middle of Fifth Avenue and they're not leaving him. But there are a bunch of people, there are a surprising number of people who are potentially swayed by these kind of lies. So we have to fight back against them.
I don't want to be too skeptical here, and I'm really not. I'm just asking the question, though. But it does. Are we at a point where truth still matters? I mean, if you're armed with the facts to say, okay, well, this isn't the case, does that work? Does it take more than the truth?
Right. I think it can. So let's say, you know, on let's just keep it to the two we've been talking about. Democrats are going to get rid of your cars. And, you know, the coronavirus is all Obama's fault. There are like Fox commentators, Wall Street Journal coverage, conservative voices saying both of those things aren't true. So the best thing to do is respond with that. Right? What I mean? So the voices do matter a great deal. And, you know, if you're a Republican, let's say, or voted for Trump last time and you decided not to, anything you say is going to be treated. I think people are going to be interested by that. So, you know, again, Trump's hardcore base is not going to be swayed by anything, but that's not the task in front of us. The task in front of us is to reach people who are open to information. And those people, I think, you can reach. Again, not just with fighting back against lies, but, you know, with true factual arguments on Trump's record. Good example. There's a lot of voters out there who don't like that Trump cut taxes for the wealthy, but they'll say, But, you know, the tax cuts for businesses, you know, they all created a bunch of jobs. And, of course, the evidence is very clear that the biggest companies didn't create any jobs. You know, they just pocketed the money. So that's the type of thing it's worth spending some time to share with people and try and educate them.
Do you think that the last month, and especially the Joe Biden campaign, has taught us, because you make this point in the book about the importance of volunteering, that money ain't what it used to be, that you can have a lot of power with volunteering?
Well, yeah. So it's a super important question. It's like, well, how did Joe Biden do as well as he did with as little money as he did? And I'd make two points. One, he did start with a lot of support. So let's say Joe Biden was somebody who was started the campaign at 0 or 1%.
Right.
Would he have been able to do this well solely on the backs of a lot of momentum and passionate people? No. But he got back a lot of vote that had left him because he looked like he wasn't performing well, and he wasn't for a while. So money still matters, but I do think people matter more. You know, I think if you've got passionate people, and again, as much as social media can be a toxic waste dump, it's also a powerful megaphone for all of us, right? And if we're talking a candidate up and we're sharing information and we're volunteering and getting other people to do it, it can make a big difference. So to beat Trump, though, we're going to need, if Biden's our nominee, he needs to have enough money. He's got to have a great campaign. They've got to be digitally and data sophisticated, coupled with hopefully millions and millions of Americans who were in formal ways, meaning, yes, I'm a volunteer for Joe Biden or for a local Democratic group, or informally, like I'm just going to make sure my friends and family members are registered, are voting early, you know, I'm asking them to volunteer. You got to put those two things together. But I do think a presidential campaign, because, you know, people pay a lot of attention. You know, money tends to matter more when you've got a candidate who's not well known, right, or it's an office that's not getting a lot of press attention. Then, you know, the money's kind of, the advertising's it. So, you know, advertising is important, but I think it is less important in a presidential campaign. And that's why, like, if a candidate for president has a decision to make, if they don't have all the money they need, should you cut your investment in people and grassroots operations for advertising? I would always say no. The thing you have to fund completely is the grassroots operation, so that the volunteers have the support and resources they need.
I feel like I'm going backwards instead of forwards, but I do want to ask this question. Do you think there is how concerned are you, and this has to do with the strengthening of the Democratic Party, and if Senator Sanders does not perform extremely well in the coming primary, what damage could be done if he stays in the race for the strength of the Democratic Party going into the fall?
Well, listen, I think it's going to be very clear post-Tuesday. I mean, if the debate on Sunday is like Bernie Sanders has the best debate in American history and Joe Biden has the worst, kind of like a Michael Bloomberg-like debate in the first one.
Right.
You know, maybe things change. But you know, if it goes relatively according to what we might expect, you know, even if Biden isn't tremendous, he's going to do super well on Tuesday in states like Florida. So he's going to have a delegate lead, I think, come on Wednesday morning that's insurmountable. So my suspicion is Bernie Sanders will decide to either end his race there or, you know, maybe goes on to Georgia. But you know, the race is, for all intents and purposes, over. So I think we need to move the general election. Why? When it's clear, you know, once it's clear who's going to win, because we have an incumbent who's been running for re-election since the day he was inaugurated. They're spending real money and doing really smart work in all the battleground states. I also think during the coronavirus, which we don't know if it's going to last another month or the entire year, it'd be helpful to have one voice, you know, as the alternative, critiquing what Trump's doing, but also talking about what they do. I think that's important. And then I think, you know, the question is, how do we unify? And I have no question that if Bernie Sanders does come up on the short end of this, he will, in word and action, do everything he can. He and Biden are personally close. Obviously, the threat of Trump is something Bernie Sanders has spoken so eloquently about. But it's on all of us. So the best example of this is if you live in Western New York, right, or you live in, Pennsylvania. Or, you know, Vermont, let's say, and you were for Joe Biden, invite Vermont's a little bit different, but anywhere else, you know, you invite the Bernie people over who you know were for Bernie. Maybe they're your kids. Maybe they're your friends of yours who organize for them, and say, how are we going to move forward? Like, And they may, some people will be ready on day one and others won't. And others may complain about, you know, the way they thought Bernie was treated, or they've got concerns about Biden. And I think the message from the person who's hosting that event needs to be, we need you. When you're ready, we need you. We welcome you. We're not going through the motions here. So we all, again, this is another example where, the actors on the main stage, Biden, Sanders, the Obamas, everybody's got a role to play, AOC. But at the end of the day, it's the people on the ground, because that's the interaction people are going to have. And if the Bernie people feel not welcomed or rushed, that's not going to work very well.
David Plouffe, campaign manager for President Barack Obama in 2008, has written a new book, A Citizen's Guide to Beating Donald Trump. It is out from Viking. David, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. A great pleasure having you on the program.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Everybody stay safe out there.
You're listening to The Roundtable.